views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show. So glad you're joining us here today for what I imagine will be an interesting and unusual conversation for the show. But before I get into that, I want to say hello to my listeners, my live listeners who might be listening on KKNW AM 1150 here in the Seattle area. You might be listening live on WBLQ in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York, on one of the 35 stations in Australia, or of course anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. And if you're not listening live, you might be listening on iTunes, Transformation Talk Radio, but wherever and whenever you're listening to this, I'm so glad you joined us because we're going to be having a fascinating conversation today. And I want to say hello to my better half there in the studio, Mr. Benny Mathers. You do your magic and you and everybody in the, around the world can hear it.
I do. And it sounds like you are on the road for today's show, which I do miss you deeply in the studio here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I miss you too, aww. But I'm amongst the trees and the ocean, and nice to be away in nature. And it's funny because speaking of nature, mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about something that is relates to nature, relates in particular to women's nature, and yet it's using a term that brings up, you know, some preconceived notions. And the term I'm talking about is witch. But before we get into that, I want to say hello to my guest, who's bringing a new kind of perspective to what that word means. My guest today is Danielle Dolsky. She's an artist, a yoga teacher, an energy worker. She leads women's circles, witchcraft circles, energy healing training, and she's the author of this new book called Woman Most Wild, Three Keys to Liberating the Witch Within. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Danielle Dolsky. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Christine. Very happy to be here.
Nice to have you here. And, you know, we have never talked about the word witch or witchcraft here on the Christine Upchurch Show. And, oh, about 5 years I've been doing this show. So I was very fascinated that Peggy Snow, our associate producer, found her way to this book, your book, and she read it. And she's like, you know what? I think this would be an interesting topic, and I'm so glad she found her way to you. So, you know, that word, witch, has all sorts of connotations. I personally have dressed up as that, you know, Halloween concept of a witch numerous times on Halloween. But what does that word really mean?
So I know that everyone kind of looks for a really mystical answer to that question. And really, to me, a witch is anyone that meets both of two criteria. And one of them is that you practice witchcraft. So witchcraft is really just that. It's a craft. It's a practice that is accessible to anyone. So you practice witchcraft, but then also you claim the name witch as your own. So it's not a name that's given to you. It's a name that you claim as your own. And it means different things to different people. And it really doesn't matter what the name means to anyone but you. So there is this underlying kinship with nature, and there's common themes that witches do tend to share, common beliefs that witches tend to share. But it is extremely variable, and the spiritual practice of witchcraft is very, very broad.
So you talk about it as a spiritual witchcraft. So let's, you know, first address this concept of witches being evil and doing harmful magic.
Yeah. I know it's such in the culture belief. It's so deep and underlying, and you know, it's really left over from an earlier time and from our fairy tales. And it's still actually very much in the media today. I just watched this movie where the witch was a evil woman who lived in the woods and preyed on children. So it persists. But yeah, the it's left over from really the burning times, and the witch, you know, was just a woman who probably didn't practice witchcraft during the burning times, but just kind of didn't conform to the social ideal or wasn't married or, was kind of socially isolated. So all of that is wrapped up in this idea that being a witch is somehow sinful or evil, and that all witches kind of cast spells on other people, and that's absolutely not true.
So in other words, it's something that society created to control women who did not conform.
Yes. Well, yes, okay. The idea that the witch is evil, absolutely. And that like twisted nose crone, or the Wicked Witch of the West and the Wizard of Oz that we all grew up with, you know, it's kind of an instrument of feminine oppression, the idea that the witch is somehow this evil character. And I think that it's in all of us, you know, if you grow up with those fairy tales, it really is in there, regardless of whether you were raised religious or not. So, you know, it is a real obstacle that women who are coming to the craft have to get over, these deep-seated beliefs that the witch is evil or that it's somehow sinful to cast a spell. And I think it affects everybody. And, you know, the thing that I always tell women that I work with is, like, really look at those beliefs. And you can see, if you trace them back early enough, you can see that they aren't yours, that they're beliefs that belong to somebody else. Uh-huh. And so, you know, it's time to dismantle those.
So looking at the other side of that coin, more the truth of witchcraft, I know you said there's quite a bit of variability in terms of it.
You know, I don't know that there is. I think that the kinship with nature is the strongest one. But even that kind of makes people feel that if they don't live in a, you know, near a big open space, that they can't practice witchcraft. So I do think this belief that, you know, that nature is holy and that the body is holy, and that witches are really fundamentally against oppression because it is a feminine spiritual system or a feminist spiritual system. So all of those are, you know, common themes. But I think that even with that, you would still find a system or two or a tradition or two that would say that doesn't apply to them. But very broadly, those are the common elements.
Right. And one of the things you just said that feels really important in terms of our spiritual development at this point, whether we're female or male, is sort of embracing the body as divine, as opposed to so many of the religions have taught us that somehow our body is less than holy, somehow we need to transcend, or, you know, we are not our bodies. Why is it that you in particular, as a witch, believe that the body is holy?
Well, me in particular, I come from, I was a yoga teacher before I was claiming the name witch. So everything that you just said about how, you know, religions tend to look at the body as less than and emotions as less than, you know, that's very prevalent in the yoga community still. So,
really, yeah.
You know, even though which is ironic, right? Because in the West, we're very asana driven. So we are very focused on the body. And yet we say that we subscribe to these ancient yogic philosophies or Vedic philosophies that tend to frame the body as inferior to the higher self. So, that was where I was coming from. And yoga for me was really this gateway to, like, the divine or the mystical. So coming from a very religious childhood, finding yoga and having this you know, whole different perspective that still didn't seem quite right, but was telling me that the divine was inside of me, which was something that was sorely missing from my religion. So that was an awakening for me. But yeah, so, you know, the idea that the body is holy and that emotions are holy and the earth is holy, all of those things are feminine. All of those things are soul. And, you know, to look at those as very much equal to the higher self or the Atman or whatever you would call it. So I absolutely believe that that's a core part of witchcraft.
So, Danielle, we're going to have to go to a quick break, but when we return, I'm going to want you to share more with our listeners about how you practice being a wild woman and also how you connect that to being a witch. And but we have to go to a quick break. More with Danielle Dolsky here in just a few moments.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-9000. 972-5366.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit saraluce.com. That's SARALOOS.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. Benny, you always have fun choosing the music that, for the bumpers, don't you?
Thank you. I do. I think I gravitate towards them fairly well, so to speak. So.
Yeah, you do.
Thank you.
You know, I'm happy to be having a conversation with Danielle Dolsky today about being a wild woman and also being a witch. Now, in your book, you talk a lot about wild woman spirituality, Danielle. What do you mean by that? Mm-hmm. So wild woman spirituality, the core component of that is reverence for the earth and also for the body. So I had mentioned that earlier as being important to witchcraft also, which it is. But more than that, there's a level of activism to wild woman spirituality. So, if you practice wild woman spirituality, you might not necessarily cast spells and work magic the way a witch does. Uh-huh. But you do still have this very strong sense of selfhood. So selfhood, you know, your individuality as opposed to spiritual connection to all things. So this sense of selfhood. And then also this really fierce understanding of your and impactful understanding of your core values. So, you know, usually those have something to do with that reverence for the earth and the body. So whether it's, you know, environmental activism or women's rights activism.
Danielle, you cut out there for a minute. Can you start that sentence over again? I'm so sorry.
That's okay. So activism, whether it's environmental activism or maybe women's rights or reproductive rights activism, but there's some kind of real way of getting your wild womanhood out into the community and claiming your right as a change agent. That's the key component of wild woman spirituality. So it's not just a bunch of women sitting in circle and talking, like I think a lot of people kind of think that it is. It's not just a bunch of women kind of getting together to dance in the woods. It's women that come together and really believe that that the earth is wounded and that we as women have a right to heal her and make our voices heard.
Mm-hmm. You know, Danielle, you know, before you were talking about that sort of yogic perspective and religious perspective of our bodies being less than, I think within the consciousness community, there's been this stagnation of our development of bringing spirituality into the world because of the fact that people think in terms of just, you know, the meditation, the energy that we put out there. But what you're talking about is taking that with, you know, our core beliefs and through passion, putting it out into the world by action, through action. And that is different.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Wild woman spirituality is an embodied spiritual practice. And to me, it doesn't make sense, and it's never made sense, to kind of sit still and be spiritual if I can't do anything with that. You know, it's all about, like, that downward current of manifestation energy. Like, I want to be able to, to take my sense of spiritual strength and fortitude and be able to, like, enact that in my world. And I think that, you know, the more women that do that, the better our world will be. The more oppression will be eased, and the environment can be addressed, and you know, the time to stay silent is over.
Right. And it's funny because, Danielle, what I think in terms of feminine energy, like feminine divine energy and divine masculine energy, I think of it as like the divine feminine is about receiving, being open through surrender to the flow of intuition, to divine power. Mm. And with masculine, it's this outward movement. So what you're talking about, from my perspective, is really about women creating a balance of using both. It's like not just the receiving and the nurturing, but also the empowered outward movement of energy.
Right, exactly. And I talk about this in terms of the triple goddess metaphor in my book, but I usually say, you know, that kind of yin receptive intuitive energy and that perspective of the feminine, that's more like the crown, right? Uh-huh. And it's kind of upper chakra versus the active mother energy that's kind of in the belly, solar plexus, heart and throat is very, very fierce. And very kind of protective and outward. And then the maiden energy is lower chakra. So that's where the sexuality and sensuality and a connection to nature really come into play. So the holistic divine feminine is all three of those. So, right. but, but, but there is that sense that the feminine has to be kind of soft. And that can be a leftover, too, from beliefs from childhood. A lot of women that come to Wild Woman spirituality and even witchcraft, sometimes they have this sense that the goddess is kind of this fluffy, glittery, ineffectual type deity, and that's really another obstacle that has to be surmounted, because it's not that way. We have to really claim the goddess as equal to God, and it's mm-hmm. not this fluffy kind of concept that's just nice. It's not right. nice all the time.
So that makes perfect sense to me, and I think in terms of becoming spiritual warriors, in a sense, is kind of like embracing the whole package.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you don't have to be like ready to do that right in the beginning when you're starting to practice the craft or you're coming to Wild Woman spirituality or whatever your journey is. It's not uh-huh. like you automatically have to do that immediately or you're not real or something like that. Uh-huh. But in my experience, it is something that women tend to come to very organically, almost without looking for it. Just this sense, like you said, of spiritual, warrior womanhood or whatever we could call it. Because there is that sense that it's been oppressed for a long time. So there is like a level of righteous rage attached to it, which in my experience is important and kind of useful rather mm-hmm. than being some kind of low vibration emotion that we have to rise above.
Uh-huh. So how does worthiness fit into this picture?
Worthiness?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I think in terms of right now, at least in American culture, I would say Western culture, but I don't know if it's true across the board. But in American culture, it seems like many, many women have self-worth issues. They don't feel mm-hmm. worthy of standing their ground, speaking their voice. I think in terms of what's getting exemplified through the president of the United States right now, some of that behavior. And more generally through politics, some of the disempowerment of women's perspectives. So how does sort of claiming our worthiness fit into this?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I know exactly what you mean, though. I think that our self-worth is very much tied to having an abundance of what we truly value. And okay. so, which isn't for most of us money, it's, uh-huh. Family or hugs sometimes or freedom, the freedom to travel. And sometimes it's magic and sometimes it's time in nature or sacred solitude. So whatever your values might be, that our sense of self-worth is tied to how much of that we have in our lives. So, mm-hmm. for instance, for me, I really value my time alone. I value uh-huh. my sacred solitude a lot, and I am a mother uh-huh. of two young boys, and I have a partner. So it doesn't matter how much money I have coming in or how abundant my work is and all of this other stuff that's really good in my life. If I don't have that time alone, I do have a lower sense of self-worth, and I know that about myself. Mm-hmm. So what I encourage women to do, because you're right, that it does require this level of self-esteem and a sense of agency that not every woman has, is to start looking at, what do you truly value and how can you get more of that right now? So given the political climate, if you really value, feeling that you're being protected in your community or something like that, then find another avenue to tap into that right now when we don't have that, on CNN or whatever.
Sure, sure.
Right. So there is that, because, in witchcraft especially, to be able to cast a spell, for instance, or to be able to enact your magic or conduct a ceremony or even participate in a ritual, it does require a sense of magical agency in the belly, solar plexus, self-esteem, self-worth, all of that. And so if you do have this low sense of self-esteem and self-efficacy, it does affect how well you can, move through your spiritual practice. So especially if it involves spellcraft. So you're right, that there is this need to, enhance our feminine worth in whatever ways we can right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you talked about spells.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your perspective on that, and how do witches in general implement spells?
So, they do it in any number of ways, but a spell really requires a few different things. So it requires a laser-focused intention. So, it can't be like kind of a half-hearted wish for more money.
Mm-hmm, right.
It has to really be much more focused than that. And it requires a vision that you can really see this happening, and you have to be able to believe it in every cell in your body that you can do this. So the spell might be a healing spell for somebody. It might be a protection spell. It might be a manifestation spell, so there's all of these different kinds of spells that we could cast, but they always require that intention. And then they always require the second thing, and just as importantly, they require the practitioner's belief that he or she is able to do that, that they're able to use their energy, their will, to affect their world and achieve that outcome that they're looking for.
Right. Well, that makes sense. That feels like two important things for manifestation.
Right, absolutely. And so, most spellcraft then involves some form of energy raising. So, witches do that in different ways. Some you can do it with voice, you can do it with dancing, you can do it with tools. Sometimes they cast a circle to contain the energy, which I do in my practice. But all of that is kind of variable. But then you raise that energy and you direct it toward that outcome.
That sounds wonderful. We have to go to another quick break, Danielle. But when we return, I'm going to want you to share with our listeners about how witchcraft and when we're engaging with wild woman spirituality, how we interact with nature in a different way and how nature can support us. Also, for those of you who are listening in the Seattle area, Danielle's coming to Seattle very soon. More with Danielle Dolsky here in just a few moments.
Do you want to heal your body and mind? Your body has a lot to tell you if you just learn to listen to your intuition. Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio, can help you peel away the layers that are holding you back from living your best life. Tune in to Rewired Life Radio. Learn to love, heal, celebrate on Transformation Talk Radio every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Connect with Audrey at audreymichelle.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking to Danielle Dulski today. She is an artist, an energy worker, a yoga teacher, and she leads women's circles and witchcraft workshops. And she has a new book out called Woman Most Wild, Three Keys to Liberating the Witch Within. Now, Danielle, what are those three keys to liberating the witch?
So the first key is wild rhythm. And wild rhythm is looking at the rhythms of nature, so primarily the solar and lunar rhythms, but other rhythms also, and beginning to kind of examine how those rhythms affect you personally. So, you know, in the wild woman community, there's a lot of this language where it seems like, you know, there's rules for your menstrual cycle and that you're always going to feel this way on the full moon and things like that. Uh-huh. And that's not really true. So you need to kind of look at the lunar cycle and then the wheel of the year or the seasons and see how they affect you, your body, your energy level and your psyche, all of that. Because it's very, very empowering. And it's one of the first practices I always recommend to women when I'm working with them is to really actually start to write down, like, how you feel on the new moon, full moon, waning moon or dark moon, and then how you feel at different seasons of the year. So, like, we're kind of looking back on your memories and your experiences, because there are very common patterns. And, like, so, for instance, for me, in the fall and in the autumn, I really feel like I have a lot of energy. That's when I feel like I'm the most me versus now is kind of my low energy time. And for a lot of other women, it's the reverse of that. So, you know, for me, if I know I have a huge project to do, I'll try to schedule it for the fall because I know that I have more energy that way. And then just in terms of like on a smaller scale on the lunar cycle, like if you know that at a certain point in your menstrual cycle, you really feel kind of chaotic or like you need to be alone, you know, kind of honor that and don't feel like you should always feel this way or that way because nature doesn't do that. Right. So it's looking at your wild rhythm and then working with those rhythms in your craft. So then the second key is wild ritual. And that's where we get into spellcraft and also ritual or ceremony and looking at how you can use your will to affirm what you truly value through your magic. And we do that in a few different ways in the book. And then finally, the third key is wild circle. And wild circle is coming together with other like-minded speakers. So you know, if it's a women's circle, good. It's, you know, men are welcome also. It doesn't have anything to do with gender, really, because it's all about the feminine. And being able to work your magic in a circle, but also talk about these things, you know, to talk about your craft and to talk about your magic is so, so important. Because a lot of newer witches don't have that sense of community, and it might not be accessible, especially if they live in a rural area. But it is very important to, you know, to manifestation. It's important to get it out there and to share it and to put your magic alongside very mundane things, in my experience, has been very powerful. So in women's circles, to have a group of women coming together and talking about, you know, the spells that they cast for the full moon alongside having to take the dog to the vet or, like, you know, these regular things that we do every day. Because it's all about integration, and it makes the craft seem more real instead of just this kind of superficial layer that you put on top of your real life, right? So it's all about weaving and integration.
So beyond, say, community support, what makes coming together with others empowering?
Well, there's this validation to it, right? In other spiritual communities, so say Catholicism, right? You can go to a church and have that grand sense of community that's, you know, with stained glass and gold. So, you know, there's this place you can go and that you need that sense of communion. Even in the pagan community, you need that. So, it's not that you can't be a solitary witch. I was a solitary witch for years and years. And it doesn't mean that they're less than or whatever. It's not that. But there is this very real validation that comes from coming together with other people that kind of think like you do and that'll work your magic with you and maybe, you know, promote some kind of an activism event with you. All of that is very integral to your sense of magical autonomy, which is then important to be able to cast spells and work your magic.
Right. So you talk a lot about nature and sort of figuring out how we as individuals are affected by nature. So you talk a little bit in your book about the fairy realm. Now, some people don't believe it exists. Some people think it exists and think of it in a particular way. What's your perspective on what I consider to be nature spirits?
Right. So nature spirits and fairy, they are the earth protectors. So really, if you get down to, you know, how to really work with nature, you would be working with them. You don't have to call them, you know, they aren't these like tiny winged things that grant wishes. They are, it's this whole other vast plane that, you know, you don't really have to buy into it in order to practice witchcraft, certainly. But in the book, I talk about fairy gazing. And in my experience, that's been a really powerful practice for people that are just kind of on the edge and they're not sure how they feel about fairies. Because, you know, fairies, just like witches, have been kind of denigrated in our fairy tales, right?
So
we have to kind of dismantle all of that and look at them as earth protectors. And, you know, for me, my first experience with fairy was outside of all of those indoctrinated beliefs. It was when I traveled to Ireland when I was 18, and especially out in Western Ireland, there is such a strong sense of fairy, especially in like the misty kind of wooded areas. And that was when I was like, oh, okay, now I get it. So in a lot of ways, it's something that kind of has to be experienced in order to work with them. And I think that that's really true of a lot of components of witchcraft. You know, you need proof that it works. And the first time you cast a spell or the first time you have a profound experience in a circle or, you know, all of these other elements of craft, then you have your proof. And then that's when you have that sense of validation that you could keep going.
Right.
So it isn't something that requires blind faith, like a lot of other spiritual systems do. It is an embodied experience.
Right. Oh, I love validation because it's very energizing in that realm.
Yeah.
So, you know,
So
you talk about the connection to nature and how important it is within the context of wild woman spirituality and witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
What about people who live in, you know, highly populated cities, you know, with a bunch of tall buildings and there's not a lot of nature there?
Mm-hmm.
Can they still practice this?
Absolutely. And in a lot of ways, they are at an advantage because think of the resources that you have in an urban area that you don't have in a more rural area, right? So it's looking at where you are and then claiming your craft right where you are. So kind of having like this inner altar almost. So if you're in an urban area, you know, you still have the sky that you can see. You can still see the moon. You still have green spaces maybe, right? Uh-huh. So it's figuring out how to commune with nature when you're in an urban area, but then also really feeling the sense of gratitude that you could go to a women's circle maybe, or some kind of a pagan meeting that somebody in a rural community wouldn't have access to, or uh-huh. you can run down to the shop on the corner and buy your sage or, you know, your crystals or whatever you need for your craft. So, you know, there are certain advantages to living in urban areas that witches that live in the rural area, they might have a wealth of nature, but they might have to drive a few hours to be able to find someone to talk to about it.
Right, right. Of course, these days with the power of the internet, we can connect online. Are there witchcraft communities online?
There are. There's a few witchcraft communities online. I love to recommend, though, the Divine Feminine app that I'm not affiliated with in any way, but it's an awesome resource where you just put your zip code in and it gives you a list of women's circles and any event that's associated with the Divine Feminine. So there's certainly witchcraft events that are on there, but there's Red uh-huh. Tents and, you know, Wild Woman Camps and all of this that are listed on there also. So the Divine Feminine app is a great resource that I think is really bringing a lot of women together that would have been isolated previously.
Fabulous. We're going to have to go to another quick break, but when we return, everybody, you're going to hear about how you can connect with Danielle, and particularly for those of you in Seattle, she's got an event coming up, so stay tuned.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, Clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, and of course, Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Danielle, this hour has just flown by here, and before we continue our conversation, which I'm sure will lead us to the very last minute, can you please share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you over the internet and tell us a little bit about your upcoming Seattle event?
Yeah, so my website's just DanielleDolsky.com.
And how do you spell that?
Danielle, DanielleDulfky.com.
Okay.
And the Seattle event is at the Cunning Crow Apothecary on July 21st from like 6:30 to 9:30 or around there. And it's a book signing and then a primal feminine writing workshop and then also body prayer or yoga workshop.
I love that. Body prayer. That's a wonderful way of talking about it. Oh, that's fabulous. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, in your book, you talk about the inner priestess. How do you define that?
Yeah, so I think that it's different for all women. And usually what I encourage anyone, not just a woman, but anyone to do, is to look back into their childhood moments where they really felt like they were the most them, those moments where they felt that their body, mind, and spirit were all kind of engaged in the same action, and there was this very strong sense of presence. So to look back on those moments, and, you know, if there's this sense of magic, if there's this connection to nature, you know, remember what that feeling is when, you know, you're watching the snow fall or the leaves fall or whatever, or the ocean, something like that. Remember that sense of just divinity and how it didn't seem external to you. It seemed like you belonged there. You weren't just planted in a place like you were, you know, an extra object or whatever, that there was this sense of connection. To cultivate that, you know, find that sense of divinity again in whatever way you have to. But normally it does come from nature or creative work or being physically present. So, you know, I have that sense in yoga sometimes just on the mat. So just having body, mind, and spirit kind of yoked together, that's the inner priestess.
Right. It's funny. I have a memory that is probably one of my most powerful memories of connection. Back in the days when I lived in New Jersey, which was like, from my perspective, an overcrowded place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was there was snow predicted, and there were a bunch of pigeons in the parking lot, and I thought, I want to feed them. So I went and I bought a loaf of bread, and I was feeding them, and one of the pigeons just sat on my foot and cooed away. And there was this transcendence that occurred during that moment. It was like, of all places, in a busy parking lot in New Jersey with pigeons. And yet, you know, it was one of those magical places for me, that magical time when I felt that connection. So it did involve my connection to nature, but also feeling like I was at the right place at the right time. So I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like there are those magical moments that we experience in our lifetime. And if we reflect upon them, there's a lot to be learned from that.
Yeah, absolutely. My very first yoga class, I was very young, and I was taking it with this woman who was a tantric practitioner, and she started, and I had never done yoga before, and I was around 14. And she started talking about this experience of driving home and seeing a deer cross the road, right? So, you know, just a regular mundane kind of experience. And she described it like it was the most mystical, magical event that anyone had ever experienced before. And she described it so beautifully. And I thought, well, I'm obviously going to be teaching yoga for the rest of my life because I want to be able to look at the world the way she does. But it was just one of those moments, those inner priestess moments.
So we can we encourage the inner priestess throughout our daily lives?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, look at patterns. So, you know, look at like your pigeon moment. Look at that and then see if there's other moments like that throughout your life that kind of involve the same, you know, some commonality. So, you know, maybe it's not all pigeons, but was it all birds? Was it all a sense of freedom, right? Because birds are freedom. Uh-huh. So to kind of look at you for your patterns and then on purpose create moments in your life that include those common elements that you've always had in those inner priestess moments. Right. So you can absolutely, you know, create that for yourself on purpose. It doesn't have to always be by accident.
Yeah. And for me, I think that there's an aspect of feeling like I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, being authentic and sort of honoring all levels of who I am, including not just the spiritual, but the physical and the emotional as well.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And you know, the priestess is very spiritually autonomous. And if you're raised in like a very patriarchal religion, there is this sense of spiritual disempowerment, like somebody has to tell us we're being a good girl. Somebody has to, you know, give us the names that we're striving for or something like that. And so, you know, the inner priestess is getting over all of that and being like, no, I'm going to give myself my own name. I'm going to do this for myself and work my own magic rather than look for external validation.
Yeah. That sounds like a very empowering way of practicing spirituality.
Yeah.
So, you know, this time is running out. In, say, a minute or so, is there a single message from your book that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think it's that. I think that, you know, to look back on experiences that seemed kind of otherworldly, and especially those from childhood, because, you know, at adolescence, we start to try to control ourselves in order to not be socially rejected. So, you know, look back to middle childhood, really look back into that time for those moments where you felt connected to nature and honor that as feminine, honor the body as feminine, connection to nature is feminine, and your emotions, your wildness as feminine, and empower those in whatever way you need to.
That's beautiful. Again, the title of her book is Woman Most Wild, Three Keys to Liberating the Witch Within. DanielleDulsky.com, DanielleDulsky. Danielle, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you, Christine.
And I want to thank you for joining us here. And I want to tell you that I want to hear from some of our listeners. I see on my website in the archives, we have people visiting from over, oh gosh, I think it's over like 90, 95 countries at this point. I know you're from all over the world listening to the show and looking at things on my website. Let me know on Facebook. Get on to the Christine Epchurch Show page on Facebook. And like us if you're enjoying these shows. Give us some feedback. I want to hear from you because I do this show. We all do this show for you, the listener. I want to thank you all for being here. And I want to wish everybody a happy Independence Day because freedom is where it's at. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.